The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors. And we're more than glad to take your phone call here at 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. And we were talking a little bit the last hour about anything unusual you've seen in the woods. And we talked about this wolf-like creature, and I'm not sure what it is. It was killed by a rancher in Montana, long brown fur all over the thing. It's got a long snout. It's got ears that are too big for a wolf. It does have a long tail like a wolf, but its body's too short and its front paws are too small. So what is it? What in the world is it? Wildlife officials are baffled. They have to do DNA to try and figure out what it is, and they won't know what it is. But let's see. I did ask a question, too, about coyotes. What day are you not allowed to kill coyote in Maryland? What one day is it? And John in Denton seems to have the answer. John, good morning.
Good morning, Alan. How you doing?
I'm well. What's the answer?
The answer to the question is the only day that you're not allowed to hunt coyotes in Maryland is the opening day of the firearm seasons for deer, where the only other animal you're allowed to hunt is sea ducks.
That is correct.
Thank you.
That is correct. You're absolutely right, John. And you win the admiration of the rest of our listeners as your prize.
Okay, I'm pretty sharp between 10 to 6 and 6:15, and then from there on it's downhill.
So. 10 to 6 and 6:15 downhill from there. Huh? So we got you for 25 minutes, but we got to take 5 minutes out for the news.
Yeah, now I got to recover. So anyway. I'm going to get off the phone and get back on the radio. I'm driving. Thanks a lot.
All right, John. See you, buddy. Bye-bye. Here he goes. Correct answer. The only day you're not allowed to shoot a coyote is the first day of deer season, and the only other game species that you're allowed to shoot, or even non-game species, is a sea duck on that day. That's correct. How about that? Were you aware of that, Chris? I don't think many people are. I would imagine that the day most coyotes get killed in Maryland is the first day of deer season.
I would suspect so.
Yeah. Guys are out there all jacked up with a rifle and, you know, a lot of people in the woods and coyotes are running everywhere. Bang. Goodbye. You know? So, I don't know. I don't know how well that is enforced, quite frankly, but I wouldn't go around bragging about it.
No.
You know?
No, definitely not.
Would I shoot one first day of deer season? Likely not, even if I saw one.
No, I'd be after the deer.
I definitely after the deer. Yeah, coyote running through the woods, that means the deer are going to be up on their feet too. No question. Now, why is it possible for wolves and coyotes and like creatures to actually be able to track down a deer and kill it? Why is it possible for dogs to be able to run down a deer? Dogs can't run as fast as deer. How is it that they're able to, you know?
Packs.
That's one of the reasons, yeah. Yeah.
They've got a good nose.
They have a good nose, yes, but that's not what the key is.
No. Mm-mm.
The key is the aerobic capacity.
What?
Yeah. Cervids, deer creatures like moose, caribou, deer of all manner, do not have a pulmonary capacity for long distance running.
Okay. They're
built for short bursts of speed to escape predators. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind that deer are prey species. Eyes on the sides of the head. Canids and mm-hmm. canines are predator species. Eyes in the front of their head, okay. canine teeth, and so forth. Okay, so to escape a threat, a deer's first action is to leap and run a short distance. It's a sprinter. Okay. If you push that animal to exceed that sprint, eventually their aerobic capacity becomes to the point where they can't do it. They just can't catch it. They can't keep up. They can't keep their breath, catch their breath. Whereas a dog is built for the pursuit. He's built for the long-distance pursuit.
Never knew that.
And a pack of Shih Tzus
mm-hmm.
can run down a deer, given enough time.
Wow.
That's why feral dogs
uh-huh.
are so dangerous to deer as well, because you know there used to be a pack of 3 to 5
okay.
that ran in Somerset County in the part of town where part of it, in the area where I lived, and you'd see them miles from each other. One of them was a great big shaggy, I don't know if it was a collie or a collie, German Shepherd cross or whatever it was, and I don't know if he was a leader, but I mean they were all makes and manners of hounds and dogs, and there was even a beagle in the bunch that ran with that pack, and you know they were a pack. I mean they had reverted to feral status.
Okay.
And you know, but I have seen dogs run deer on several occasions through the woods, and you know, because of where I've hunted, not wanting to anger anybody by shooting their dog.
Sure.
You know, you let it go. But one of the very first times I saw that, I was just a kid, 13 years old. I was on, you know, deer season, my first deer season. And we saw a dog running deer. And driving down the road on the way out of the woods, lunchtime or whatever, there was the same dog with a collar on it in a guy's yard, you know, just like, hey, I'm home, you know, after a morning of running deer,
yeah.
you know, and they will, but they can actually run them down because they have more of
stamina,
more of an aerobic capacity for the pursuit rather than just a short burst and gone and escape.
Didn't know that.
Yep. I mean, a deer can cover, you know, deer can run 30 miles an hour. So that's why sometimes recovery is hard on a deer. Even a heart shot deer will make that sprint and that run. But that deer can go a quarter of a mile in 30 seconds, if you think about it, 30 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
15, you calculate it. It can go a long ways on that short, you know. If it sprints for 15 seconds, it's a long way away. So, but anyway, so make sure your tracking abilities. Just throwing that out there. Just trying to elicit a conversation with somebody. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number.
Yeah, if you're just getting up and getting ready to go to the beach, give us a call.
Give us a call? Yeah.
Tell us what you're doing heading down to the beach besides, well, you can't go jumping in the water because the last I heard, 68 degrees, a little bit too cool for that.
Well, you can if you're, you know, if you've done the polar bear plunge, you can do the ocean. There were not a lot of people in the ocean, I can tell you that. There were a lot of people on the beach, but there were not a lot of people in the ocean. And what are they looking for at night? What are they looking for at night with flashlights in the surf? Can anybody answer that question? 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. What are people looking for at night in the surf of Ocean City? I mean, you know, at the edge of the beach, at the edge of the ocean, where the ocean hits the beach. What are they looking for? I'm thinking of some kind of crab or something. Or bait or something. Oh, my goodness. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Hey, there's Linda in Baltimore. Linda, good morning. Cats and mice, what's going on?
Oh, it's just too funny. I'm going to catch my breath. I didn't think you're going to. I was going to have to perform so early. I live in an old house right off of Lincoln Park, and I have a lot of little mice, little field mice. So I don't have a cat anymore, and the traps don't work, and it's kind of freaky to sit there and then see this little thing run across. So my neighbor has a rescue cat for over a year now, big, gorgeous, beautiful orange tabby. And he comes up, and he would hang out and catch a mice and a mouse and then take it back to his owner. So he caught two that way. So I've had this problem. I went and I said, Mary, I need his name is Gold in My Ear, but he's,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's, beautiful orange tabby.
Okay, Gold in My Ear.
Yeah, we just call him Goldie for sure.
Oh, I see. I'm just wondering if someone has checked the religion of the cat.
Well, I'm Jewish. Maybe that.
Yeah, it's very possible then.
Yeah,
Gold in My Ear. Yeah. Okay, I get it.
So yesterday again, I told her I need the exterminator. Okay, he's sleeping. Well, she woke him up, and we walked home together. And we hung out in the living room, and he would rest and take a little break, and then all of a sudden, like snap, he'd catch one of those mice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they can't hold it too long in their mouth. That's why they let it go. And then that's what he did anyway. He'd let it go, and if it go a couple inches, he'd pounce on it again.
Mm. Yeah, they can hold them just fine. They just, that's what they do. That's why it's called cat and mouse.
Well, I never watched it so up close because I always thought it was kind of nauseating. But it was really interesting. There were two of them. He caught two. Haven't heard the sound since. I know they're going to come back, a different their cousins or something. But I was really impressed with how smart he is. And then when he got finished, he goes to the door, and he says, okay, I'm going home now.
All right. Well, Linda, that's a very fascinating story.
That's it. I love
it. Yeah, we appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
You have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. There she goes. Jill in Ecuador. Hey, Jill, nice to see you not long ago. How you been?
We've been just great, Alan. We're still standing down here in Ecuador.
Yeah.
But we faithfully listen to you and Robin and Chris every Shabbat, every Saturday morning.
From
so Shabbat Shalom to all of my
Ecuador.
Hebrew friends up there. Yes.
All your what friends?
Hebrew friends.
Oh, Hebrew friends. That was,
yes.
Linda from Baltimore. Yes. The cat's
Shabbat
name.
Shalom.
Yeah,
right.
Cat's name is Gold in My Ear.
Yeah, right. So I wanted to tell you, now, we have a farm in Millersville, Maryland. And
yes.
We still own it. But early in the mornings, I would take a jog down our neighborhood, and our driveway is packed sand. And one morning, I noticed this huge footprint in the packed sand, and I could put my hand inside of this footprint.
Okay.
And I would guess that the spread from the tip of my thumb on my right hand to the tip of my baby finger on my right hand, little finger, is about a 9-inch spread.
All right.
I could put my hand inside of that footprint and still have room around it. And it, to me, I would have thought, my first thought was, well, this looks like a dog print in the driveway, but I don't know any dogs that have feet that big.
Right, right.
So that was one thing I wanted to tell you about. And now, since we're down here in Ecuador, we have a beautiful hacienda up on a volcanic lake. And so I brought my cattle down here, my white-faced Herefords.
I remember, yes.
One day I was out there at the fence petting my bull. He came over so I could love on him.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was talking to him and, scratching his face and everything, he stopped and his eyes got real big and his tail went straight up and he's looking in a direction over my shoulder. And I couldn't see whatever it was that he could see, but he took off running away from where I was standing over to another, like, bluff on our farm. I couldn't see whatever it was that he saw. I couldn't hear it or smell it. But it was something that frightened him. And this farm, this hacienda, is in a rural area. Of course, a lot of things are in a rural area in Ecuador.
But, right.
I just wanted to share those two things with you and let you know, we're here, we're listening, and we're enjoying your show.
I appreciate that. That is pretty wild.
And
whatever can frighten a full-sized bull is fascinating. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, the track you probably, I'd hate to speculate, but did this track look, you know, human at all, or you said it looked more like a dog?
Yeah, it looked like a dog paw print. It didn't look human.
I'm thinking you had a bear on the property.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean that would be the only thing in Maryland that I could say probably about black bear had wandered through.
Yeah.
I'm gonna guess, if you can think back, I'm gonna guess it was probably sometime in June or July.
Uh-huh, yeah, because that's when I would be running. Well, I ran in the wintertime, too, but I could see the ground. There was nothing to obstruct anything.
Right.
And I've been wondering all these years what in the world that was.
Well, about that time is when the two-year-old cubs are kicked out of the mama's care, and the males, the boars, tend to roam, looking for new territory, and they'll roam everywhere in Maryland. And Anne Arundel County wouldn't surprise me if you had a wandering male black bear through the area about June or July.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Well, he didn't bother my cows or my calves.
No, he probably wouldn't. Probably wouldn't.
So that's good.
Yep.
Right. But anyway, thanks a lot, Alan, and I hope you live a long and happy and healthy life, because we need you and your service there in Maryland.
So far, so good. So,
yeah.
so thank you, Jill. I appreciate that. Calling
sure.
from Ecuador, the country of Ecuador. Nice
That's
to hear
right.
from you.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There she goes. And we've got, do we take a break or? Let's take Stan and maybe Richard. Good morning, Stan. How are you?
Wow. I'm down here in southwest Baltimore getting my kishkas pounded on the pavement in my tractor trailer. What a deal.
Yeah, no question.
I've been trying to listen to the show off and on, but I'm really busy today.
Yeah,
around,
yeah.
But I'm just climbing back in my rig.
Got it.
Got a little bit more to do this morning before I ever get done. But
I hear you.
I heard you say illicit. And I couldn't get this thing started in time. What did I miss?
A what?
You said illicit.
I did?
I love anything that's illicit.
Oh, I said
I
illicit?
Make the call.
Okay. I can't remember.
Illicit.
Oh, not illicit. Illicit.
Oh.
Trying to elicit.
I hate when that happens.
E-L-I-C. Yeah, not I-L-L-I-C-I-T. E.
Okay.
L.
I didn't miss anything.
Nothing illicit, no. Just trying to elicit some phone calls. Not illicit phone calls.
Anyway.
That would be a 900 number.
If I can remember the days of my youth, I don't know if the young lady's still listening, but Shabbat Shalom. Anyway.
Yep.
I think I said that right.
You did.
A long time since I was young.
Very close. As far south as she is, it's Shalom y'all.
Show them, y'all. I can dig it.
There you go.
from here, anyway. I just wanted to tell you, I'm tickled to death.
All right.
Anybody that says his radio is free, not in this unit. It's not.
No, I get it.
Get one of them fancy phones.
Yeah.
But I can plug in this station anywhere I am now, and I am tickled to death. No more. I got to make it short, Mr. Allen.
Yeah, I get it.
West at about 32, and... I'm going to lose you.
Perfect. Good deal, man. Good deal. The app is great. No question.
I am tickled to death.
All right, Stan.
We'll be listening, sir.
You have a safe weekend, okay? And remember the true reason for the quote holiday, okay?
In my heart, my friends, my brothers, okay? My generations.
Yep.
My forefathers.
Yep.
Yes, I remember.
I got it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, Stan.
Right,
keep the shiny side up, brother.
I tried to catch you last weekend. My radio wasn't really doing anything, but I wanted to catch you. I was coming out of Annapolis, but I don't know. Some guy in a pickup truck, I forgot what kind you had. He was probably looking at me like, who's this guy honking a horn in a tanker next to me?
Uh-huh. I got you.
Tell the better half we said hey.
See you, brother. Take care.
Right, thanks, man.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There he goes. And Richard in Westminster wants to clarify something. What did I say incorrectly there, Richard?
No, I didn't want to clarify anything. I just wanted to first ask you how the rockfish trophy rockfish season went.
Lousy.
Thing, I thought I heard you, when I was first turning on, I thought I heard you saying something about water sloshing in your deer, in your door panel.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. There should be a little rubber plug down there. I just had this exact same thing happen to our blazer.
Okay.
I shut the door and I heard all this water.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, crap, I got to drill a hole in this thing to let this water out. And then I'm feeling around. I'm like, oh, there's a little rubber plug here. I pulled the plug out and all this water come running out.
Well, that would do it. Well, let me. I'll have to check that. I'll have to get down and check that out.
Feel along the bottom on the, in, you know, on the inside part. Should be a little rubber plug there.
Well, there's actually some weep holes. If anybody knows what that is, little places where the water can run out, but it doesn't appear that that's working. So
maybe they're clogged up.
Well, it's possible. I mean, who knows what's in there from the factory or whatever. But yeah,
you know, a little compressed air in there or something.
Well, we'll figure it out. So.
Yeah. But anyway, how'd the trophy rockfish season go?
Not well. The fish were still up in the rivers at the start of the season. Those who persevered and fished a lot, especially in the last couple of weeks, have done pretty well. There's some, you know, but once those fish are done in the rivers, they're out of here. And, you know, they didn't hang around long. There's still people still catching some big fish. There's no question, but not like it's been in past years. It's just not been a great trophy season. But now we're into the summer season, and you know, you can chum up those fish as long as they're 19 inches long, as long as you use a non-offset circle hook, you're able to catch those fish and take two home. So, but the trophy season.
Me and a group of friends, we've gone every year for like the past, 16 years or something. It's just been a long time. We've been doing it once a year.
Yeah.
And I know we had a terrible spring this year.
Yeah.
It just so happened our trip got canceled this year, and I'm thinking, oh, crap, we're missing out.
But, not really. You didn't miss much. You'd have blanked.
Okay.
Especially the first couple days. I mean, the first week was not good. So.
Yeah, we always book the first or second week.
Yep. You got it.
All right. Thanks, Alan.
All right, brother.
Sorry letting that water out.
Yeah, thanks for the tip. I appreciate it. Thanks, Richard.
Bye-bye.
There goes Richard. Time for me to tell you about Clyde's Sports Shop. Clyde's is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway Exit 9. Everything you need for fishing, for crabbing. You know, the crabbing hasn't been good, but it's starting to come on a little bit. As far as rods and reels and tackle, all the major brands, Pan and Shakespeare, and they've got the Ugly Stick Shakespeare, Ugly Stick Rods, and St. Croix, and Pfluger, and all the live and frozen baits you need for fishing and crabbing. They've got trot lines. They've got crab traps. They've got rods and reels. They got all the repairs, the new line. They can wind that on. They do carry the non-offset circle hooks. And, by the way, they probably carry the non-offset circle hooks that you will need to take to catch your bait if you go live lining this year. So check that out. All the new regulations. Clyde's is up to speed. Just ask them, and they'll be able to help you. And they have that 24-hour fishing hotline. 24/7 is the fishing hotline. 247-FISH. That's the number, really. 247-3474. 410-247-3474. Call that 24-hour fishing hotline. See where they're biting, what they're biting on near you. 410-242-6108 is the regular number. Clyde's again, been in business 61 years, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, just off Beltway, exit number 9. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number 1 and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville. Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
Hey, we stopped at Bay Country Bakery on the way to the beach the other day. And you know what? They serve not only a great breakfast from 6 to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday and all day Saturday, they have some of the most delicious fresh baked donuts and pastries and cookies and breads, wonderful bread, on the Eastern Shore. You know, I don't go through that fast food or chain store drive-through. When I'm on Route 50 headed to the marsh or I'm going fishing, nope, my mouth and my belly can't wait to stop at Bay Country Bakery for a donut or two and a fresh cup of coffee. I just look for the big donut on the side of the bakery, and from 11 to 2, you can grab a tasty lunch. Dave and Gina Levy, your host, are trained chefs and strive to bring you the best. Bay Country Bakery is located at 2951 Coastal Highway. That's Route 50. 2951 Coastal Highway for you GPSers, just through Cambridge on the other side on Route 50 East. Think big donut. You'll see it on the sign. You'll see it on the side of the building. You'll see it on their trucks. You'll see it everywhere. Big donut. It's a big old frosted donut, pink frosted donut with sprinkles on it. Not my style, but I like the maple, actually. The maple with sliced almonds. They have them with almonds and not with almonds, male and female. Visit their website or like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery. Be sure to stop by and say hello. Maybe you'll see Robin and me there. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Red Stick One, a new novel. When a Florida game warden dies in a twisted act of revenge, a boy he raised, now grown and also a game warden, takes off his badge to hunt the killer. Ken Kirkby's new novel, Red Stick One, an exciting manhunt. Red Stick One, available on Amazon.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Radio 680
WCPM. Down in Louisiana, where the alligators grow so mean, lived a girl that I swear to the world made the alligators look pink. Old Salad Annie, you bet your granny. Everybody said it was a shame, 'cause her mama was a working on the chain gang. Being a mean, vicious, straight razor toting woman. Lord have mercy. Every day before supper time, she'd go down by the truck patch and pick her a mess of poke salad and carry it home in a cold sack. Poke salad, Annie.
You'd have got a granny. Sing it up.
Everybody said it was a shame,
Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, Mark in Towson. Before I go to Mark in Towson, I've already pressed a button. My buddy answered the question about flashlights on the beach, and that's ghost crabs. They blend in with sand. Kids catch them, put them in a bucket, you know, count them up, and then turn them loose. And then he also helped me with the weep holes on the truck. He said Z-Bart will clog them. I don't think the truck was Z-Barted or undercoated when I bought it, but put a little butter knife up in there, wiggle it around, and unclog the hole.
So. Somebody suggested a hacksaw blade.
Hacksaw blade work too?
Yep.
Yep. Anything that is narrow and thin and can go up in there and kind of unclog whatever's clogged, if it's clogged.
Toothpick?
I think not. No. I'm more of a knife wielding guy, you know, like Poke Saladani's mother carries a straight razor. You know, that's Mark. Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I'd recommend anything thin, like a copper wire.
Copper wire would work. That would work.
Well. Anything to there may be some debris at the bottom that's blocking it.
Possible. Very possible.
Yeah, clearly, you got to get the water out of there. It gets in. It just runs down along the window.
I guess.
And along the welting.
Yes, yes.
Gets in, and that's why they've got the weep holes.
Yep.
Because they know it's going to happen.
Have you ever heard the stories of disgruntled factory workers hiding things inside of cars and that type
Everybody
of thing?
Everybody has.
Yeah, I know. Urban legends, I think most of them are. But one of my favorites was that a guy heard a knocking inside his right front fender, couldn't figure out what it was.
A Coke bottle?
It was a Coke bottle one of the factory workers had put in there. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What is...
I don't know that those things happen.
You know.
Back then... You know, things
happen. Oh, yeah. I don't think the robots drink Coke.
No. Don't get me started on AI. It's frightening.
Well, the key word is A.
Well, they've got the A part down really great. The I is not so good. Well, some of these companies.
Yeah. It's an oxymoron.
Yeah, it is. You try to get through on a helpline.
Yeah.
And by the time you get to somebody alive, it's impossible to be in a good mood.
Exactly. Yes. Artificial intelligence. Again, an oxymoron, like jumbo shrimp.
Yeah. Well, all this talk about the animals.
Yes.
I remember this gone back very nearly 40 years ago. A girlfriend had a Cutlass, Oldsmobile Cutlass,
mm-hmm.
really nice car. And her smart stock broke. And that. On GM back then, they had a stock for turn signals, which also controlled your high beams. Cruise control.
Yes.
And hers, when she went to turn on, I think left, it stopped returning. So I said, and back then you could buy a really nice car for $4,500.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And the stock was like 180.
Wow.
Yeah. So I said, don't worry about that. Let me call and. I called a couple, today they call them auto dismantlers.
Yes, junkyards.
I called them junkyards.
Yeah.
And I found one.
Right.
So it was probably very late in the fall and a cool day. So I went in and the guy was really nice, walked me over. He knew where the car was and offered to help. So we had to pull the steering wheel to get the stock out. And I mentioned casually while we're pulling the wheel that we were so lucky it was such a mild day because it had been very cold. And he says casually, yeah, the only problem is that the snakes get up in the cars in the fall. And on a day like today, they get active.
Oh, wow.
So I still have that award from the Society of Automotive Engineers for the quickest removal of a smart stock from an Oldsmobile. I almost vaporized. And if you ever put on a radio show late at night, like after 11,
right.
I'll tell you about what happens when you send a 26-year-old man and his 30-year-old girlfriend out to buy a bed.
I think that would be more of a private conversation, but maybe not. I don't know.
Actually, it was extremely amusing. The only one.
I can imagine.
Only one embarrassed was the salesman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like the kid that went to the pharmacy to buy, going on his first date and went in to buy condoms and had this long conversation with the pharmacist about, you know, which ones were best and all that type of thing. And then the pharmacist asked who he was going out with, and it was the pharmacist's daughter. So, but the show has degraded here very quickly there, Mark. Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Have a good holiday.
You do the same. Take care. Bye-bye. There he goes. Let's see. Bob in Parkville wants to say hi. Hi, Bob.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. Just a couple quick things. It is a beautiful morning. I got up, saw a pink sky, jumped in the car and went to a high spot by a bridge and got some beautiful shots of the sunrise. And while on my way up there, I was going past the Parkville precinct,
mm-hmm.
where Officer Amy Capiro
was
stationed.
Yes.
And there was this is probably about 5:45, and there was about, I'd say, between 7 and 10 young kids and moms and a dad with signs where the officers pull in and pull out, you know, wishing them well and we support you and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And, you know, for youth to do that, get up that early and all, and they were all smiling and so forth.
Right.
I thought that was pretty impressive. So I ran up there to Dunkin' Donut and got them a 25-pack and came by to drop it off.
Ah, good for you, Bob.
10 had grown to about 15 to 20.
Right.
And it's probably still growing.
I'm sure.
There's a lot of hope for our youth today. Got back to the house, put a coffee on, looked outside, and there's a hummingbird. First hummingbird of the year.
Nice. Yeah, well, it's finally warm enough and not too windy.
Yeah, we got some hanging plants, and we got this vine called a cardinal vine.
Yeah.
The bird cardinal. It's got a red tubular.
Yeah.
And once that thing gets going, they love that in the summer. Usually my wife and I are out early drinking our coffee, like I guess you and Robin do in the morning.
Occasionally, yep.
And, we're looking for wildlife. And then I went inside, and here on the door handle is a ladybug.
Wow.
So I snatched her up, put her on my roses to eat the aphids.
Yep.
So it's been a beautiful morning.
You've had a good morning. See?
Yeah, and talking about snakes, I've got two daughters. I guess back in the mid to late 80s, I took my daughter on a canoeing trip down Blackwater Game Reserve, down Eastern Shore, and camping and canoeing. And we're up early, and she's on a dock where the canoes were. And she says, "Dad, what's that over there?" She says, "I think it's a snake." And here it was at least a 6-7 foot black snake, and like that other caller said, it had a frog. And it was gulping it down slowly but surely. And it was a big frog. It was a bullfrog. It had mm-hmm. to be as big as the palm of your hand. And then when the grandkids come up, they're down in Charlotte now. And I take them over to Loch Raven, like in July, to pick raspberries. And I always tell them to take a walking stick and always hit the bushes before you go picking. Because, black snakes like to lay in the raspberry bushes and get the birds when they come in.
Right.
And here there was I swear to God, it was the biggest black snake I've ever seen. It was as thick as the, right before, your forearm, before your elbow.
Yep.
And that thing had to be a good 7 or 8 foot, the biggest one I've ever seen. And he was just laying there waiting. So
wow.
We avoided him.
I would say so.
It's a beautiful morning, and life is good.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy your show so much.
Well, thank you. Did you hear the story about the folks down in South Carolina that were kayaking and claimed that a rattlesnake fell out of the tree in the kayak and bit the 28-year-old man in the kayak?
I heard that.
Multiple times?
The story. I know when I was real young, gosh, I guess probably 12 or 13, we were down on Eastern Shore at a place called Mill Pond.
I remember, sure. I mean, I know where Mill Pond is, yes.
Yeah, uh-huh. And my dad had built a little skiff. Couldn't have been any more than 6-7 feet, all wood, flat bottom. And we would take that down there, put it on top of the station wagon,
mm-hmm.
and then I'd go along the mill pond, shoot bullfrogs, and clean up the house.
Which is illegal now, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah, you're not allowed to gig frog. You're not allowed to. I guess you're allowed to catch. I guess you're allowed to net them or barehand them, but
yeah,
you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to do anything that penetrates the frog's skin.
Oh wow!
Yeah, isn't that something?
That's.
Thank you, Maryland.
Yeah, yeah. I love this state. It's a beautiful state, but I cannot stand the politics. It's just all the wrong way. Oh, anyway, so we're going along looking for bullfrogs, my brother and I. I think just my one brother. I'm the oldest of seven. And here's something just dropped down in the water right beside the skiff. And, it had to be a black snake or some kind of snake because, we didn't see it go skiffing off or anything. But it was a big splash. It scared the heck out of it. It didn't really scare me that much. I just thought it was a branch that fell.
Right.
And the more I thought about it later, it had to be a snake up in a tree. Just, sunning itself or waiting for prey to come by.
Well, this story in South Carolina gets interesting. I mean, I read it last week. A guy's paddling along in his kayak, and the snake falls out of the tree and bites him. And it bit him, and he's in pretty bad shape, actually.
Snake bites are, they do organ damage.
Yes, exactly. Well, now the story has changed. His cousin, who was in the canoe with him or in the kayak or alongside or somewhere, saw what he thought was an alligator in the water. I guess a baby alligator. I don't know.
Okay, they got him down there.
Yeah, the guy reached down and picked it up, and it bit him multiple times. It was a rattle. It was a rattlesnake.
Turned around and got him.
The rattlesnake was swimming. Yeah, and it wasn't a very big one, 18 inches to 2 feet. But
it got a lot of teeth though.
It wasn't an alligator. It was actually a rattlesnake that was swimming.
Oh, a rattlesnake.
It was a rattlesnake. That's the original story. Was it fell out of a tree into the kayak?
Oh.
Now the story's changed. That the guy saw it. He thought it was an alligator. He reached over and grabbed it.
Oh my God! What did you tell me?
Out of your mouth, buddy. So.
Yep.
All right, Bob. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay. Enjoy your show. And
you too. I'm glad you had a wonderful morning looking at the hummingbirds and coffee and, doing your part.
It's only going to get better. My tomato plants are already 3 feet high.
Oh, my gosh. Well, good luck to you, Bob. Thank you.
I'm sure to try them once. Sweet, and they're delicious.
Sounds good. I love tomato sandwich. I love a tomato sandwich on rye toast. I like any kind of sandwich on rye toast. Yep. So, anyway.
Time for BLTs.
Time for BLTs. That would be good. What was I thinking the other day? Something on a BLT. Spam on a BLT. I thought about this the other day. Last week, I'm thinking, what would be good on a BLT other than, spam?
Isn't that kind of like ham overload?
Spam is a very interesting meat that's been around for a long time. Product, yeah. It's kind of like scrapple in a can.
Yeah.
But it's ham flavored.
Mm-hmm. And apparently, there are several recipes in Hawaii that it's very big in Hawaii.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's a result of during World War II.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Meat shortage, exactly. Yep. Yes, no question. But I was thinking about that. Go to Ocean City, and where we ate breakfast yesterday, they have a Spam BLT.
They have a Spam BLT?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'd give it a shot.
I'll give that a shot. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you fry Spam crispy. In a pan.
Uh-huh.
That's good. Just like scrapple. I like scrapple,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah, scrapple.
Now, the scrapple I had down there was iffy, but,
it's got to be wrap-up.
Well, not necessarily. It's just got to be a good scrapple.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, wrapple's good. We eat wrapple on the shore.
Yeah.
But if you slice scrapple relatively thin, like maybe 3/8 of an inch, just so it hangs together.
Uh-huh.
Flour it and deep fry it.
Ooh.
Or flour it and pan fry it if you want.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Oh.
And I just got some scrapple yesterday.
Robin flours it and fries it. And I'll tell you something, brother, that is good eating.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm going to die, I'm going to die with a grin on my face.
Yeah, man. Scrapple and egg sandwich.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
No cheese.
Okay.
Not for me. I mean, people like cheese on eggs. I'm not an egg and cheese.
Cheese person.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I can eat scrambled eggs with, you know, some cheese
with some
in
cheddar
them.
Cheddar in it, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. But in general, I'm not a cheese person. Yeah, okay. I don't like cheese on chicken. I hate cheese on fish.
Well, yeah, that ruins.
Yeah,
that ruins it.
Now, I like good cheese. You know, I'm experimenting now. I'm eating more of the stinky cheeses. I'm eating some blue cheese a little bit. You know, I'm just trying to grow a little bit here.
Just watch out with the blue cheese.
Watch out with the blue cheese?
Watch out for the blue cheese.
Why?
Between the salt and it's so high.
Oh, and yeah, I know. Yeah.
I know, but all the good stuff is bad for you. All the stuff that tastes good is bad for you.
We were listening to Dr. Laura the other day.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And she told this guy, she said, he's overweight. And she said, take a bag of potato chips, spread them out on the table, put your hands around them, put your hands in them. Now pick up one and look at it and say, I'm eating this because I want to be fat. And you go, you look at something that's not good for you, and you, I'm putting this in my mouth because I want to have diabetes, or I'm putting this in my mouth because I want to be fat, or I'm putting this in my mouth because I choose to be fat. I mean, it puts it in a whole perspective.
Exactly. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, you know, on second thought, maybe I won't do that.
Yeah. I think maybe we'll pass on the donut in the morning. Not that I would turn one down from Bay Country Bakery, but
no, definitely not.
Especially maple donut. Our friends at Chesapeake Outdoors do not have donuts unless they bring them in from the outside. But you know what they do have? Everything you could need, want, or imagine for any type of fishing on the Eastern Shore and beyond. That's right. Any kind of striped bass lure, any type of striped bass equipment, including custom bucktails and parachutes and umbrellas in all different flavors and colors, and custom planer boards, lines and flags, rods, reels, tackles for the bay, for the tidal rivers over there, and the freshwater fishing in the ponds and anywhere else you can find it. Live bait, frozen bait, crab bait, you got it, they have it. Kent Island's largest selection of fishing and crabbing supplies. Yeti coolers, Costa Del Mar sunglasses. They have one of the largest selections of Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Is it Costa or Costa? I keep saying it that way.
I haven't heard anybody call in and say it this way. So say it the way.
Maybe that. Maybe next week that's what we'll do. Is it Costa Del Mar or is it Costa Del Mar? Anyway, Costa Del Mar sunglasses. They got a big old box of them down there. Raven crossbows, Matthews compound bows, banded camo, great selection of firearms. You name it, they've got it at Chesapeake Outdoors. They are open today, of course. Route 50 East, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road on Kent Island, right there in beautiful downtown Chester, Maryland. 410-604-2500, 604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors, the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Keeping the thunderstorms fueled up throughout the holiday weekend. We've got a lot of tropical moisture here across the east and the southeast, and looks like we're going to have Tropical Storm Alberto coming up into the eastern Gulf of Mexico for the holiday weekend, perhaps making landfall Sunday into Monday near Mobile Bay, Alabama. Temperatures this afternoon near 90 degrees for us with a decent chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Low tonight near 70. Additional thunderstorms Sunday, upper 80s near 90. I'm Scott Laurie, more at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carry nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner.
truck gear and accessories. Catonsville Line-X, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Line-X. Hey, Clyde Sports Shop. If you're looking for anything that you need for crabbing or fishing or hunting or guns or repairs of guns and fishing tackle, new line, any kind of tackle for any type of fishing, any kind of terminal tackle, weights, hooks, bobbers, you name it, Clyde's has it. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just up Beltway exit number 9. 24-hour fishing hotline is 247-FISH, 247-3474. Regular phone number, 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop.
Red Stick One, a new novel. When a Florida game warden dies in a twisted act of revenge, the boy he raised, now grown and also a game warden, takes off his badge to hunt the killer. Ken Kirkby's new novel, Red Stick One, an exciting manhunt. Red Stick One, available on Amazon.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
I'm listening to a story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up to the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea. Well, the first thing you know.
Hey, our police officer Tom just checked in, said the crowd is up to about 60 at the Parkville Police Department, honoring a fallen hero. We'll go out with that. Remember those who...